Just gone 7:33 Central African time, blue skies and a lovely Durban. I can tell you the Indian Ocean is smiling. It says, Yusuf Mali, welcome to KZN. And he doesn't want to leave the shores of the Indian Ocean because he's simply addicted to Durban. Hey, they like him in Durban. And I told him, hey, Yusuf, come on, man, settle down here, settle down there. But he's a carpenter. And, you know, he can't leave his milk tart, his meatballs, his cook sisters, those Table Mountain, and that he's simply addicted to the Cape. But he's a world-renowned broadcaster. He is, alhamdulillah, when it comes to politics, he's very conscientized, and he does any topic besides being a health expert. But inshallah, we're going to enjoy him for the next hour, only going for the news at 8 o'clock to 8:05, and then again back. Yusuf Mali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair for joining us. Hoe gaan dit met u vanochtend, Bouta?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, bikuli hal. Het is een prachtige dag hier in Durban. En het is een mooi dag voor hem toe, inshallah. So ik hoop, inshallah, allemaal geniet die dag verder, inshallah. I mean, but subhanallah, enjoying Durban, the weather is beautiful. Had lovely rain, subhanallah. It reminded me of home. The missing and fondness of not being in your hometown, subhanallah. It is rekindled by the beautiful rain, alhamdulillah. But enjoying Durban, the weather is beautiful. And I must say, subhanallah, hospitality and people, excellent, mashallah. Uncle Shafat?
Yeah, I tell you, you're a celebrity, so everyone knows you, but you're a humble man. You're also a very spiritual man. And, you know, getting into our topic, let's look at artificial intelligence. I mean, look at us, firstly, Yusuf Mali. Let's, by the Qudrat and by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a powerful creation we are. Look at our brains, and look at our hearts, and look at our eyes, look at our ears, look at the organs that we have. And all these things, and the refrain of the noble Quran, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which is it of the favors of your Lord do you deny? And Allah has given us all these things in perfection. But sometimes we make the ill-informed choice of destroying the powerful, CPU that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Are your thoughts on that, Yusuf?
Subhanallah, Uncle Shafat. Subhanallah. Let's quickly dissect this. Alhamdulillah, Allah has created a universe. And in that universe, a small little speck they call the planet. And on that planet, he created everything that is beautiful, everything that is magnificent. His creativity held no bounds. Subhanallah. So now on this planet, which is called planet Earth, Allah has granted us and sent us to be the viceroys, to be the protectors, the ambassadors of his great will and benevolence. But subhanAllah, we are supposed to be benevolent, and literally we're not. We have become selfish. We have gained selfish thoughts and evil thoughts, sinister thoughts, creating evil things and dirty things. But subhanAllah, that's where we lost our understanding of what we are and what we should be. Allah has created us a beautiful, unique body. And this is our suit, our bias suit. And Allah has granted His ruh, blowing from His essence into this body and saying, Bismillah. And subhanAllah, kun fayakun. And subhanAllah, and we were there. Now, if we look at all that, the biomechanical suit that Allah has created is so magnificent, so beautiful. Literally, it doesn't need us. It's completely autonomous. Allah has put in this biosuit a self-aware AI, which is an artificial intelligence, but it is actually a biological intelligence called the immunity. Now, the immune system's response and process is to look after the body. Every breath that we take, it is monitoring. Every morsel of food and grain of food that we consume, it scans and makes sure that it is biological and it is that what the body can use and process. Then every breath that we take, every water drop of water that we drink, subhanAllah, everything is monitored by this immune system. The immune system is not only a sentinel that actually monitors us, but it's also our doctor, our engineer, it's everything. Literally, it is there to protect and heal and provide the body everything it needs. And all we are just the driver. Now, Allah has granted us the ruh and load the essence into this body to experience this beautiful planet and live a life that is so beautiful in submission of Allah. But subhanAllah, we have lost that crux. We have lost that understanding. And we have become egotistical, narcissistic. We have become not self-aware, but we have become evil. Because we have things that we feel that we have a godly presence, and we are God. And that is how many people on this planet think. But subhanAllah, us as Muslims, subhanAllah, we have a greater understanding and submission to Allah, because we believe there is only one greatness, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah bless us with that, inshallah. I mean. Now, when we look at the beauty of this life and this dunya that Allah has created and shaped for us, it was made uniquely for us. Why? Because it's made that we can breathe. It's made that there's abundance of food. It's made that we can actually interact from this dunya and receive healing from this dunya. And healing not only in grounding by putting your feet on the ground and literally connecting to that magnetic zone on this planet, but also healing from the water that's therapeutic, from the air that is therapeutic, from the food that's therapeutic. But yet we believe, no. Let's go to chemicals. Let's change our lifestyle and look at where we're independent from this dunya. And then we lose ourselves. And that is where many of us go astray, both mentally, physically, physiologically, everything. And that's where we go astray, because we want to disassociate ourselves and disconnect from this dunya and from Allah. And that's where you have our connection then changing from Allah to shaitan. And that connection becomes more stronger and then more sinister, because now we have evil thoughts. What can we do to destroy this planet? What can we do to destroy other people's lives? What can we do to connect to the evil way we take, which is not ours? Let's think of that. SubhanAllah. That is where we lose our connection with Allah, and connection to shaitan becomes more stronger and more intense. And that's where we see the evil up to wars and what happens and what's happening around the world, where people are not concerned about the poverty. People are not concerned about the brothers and the sisters that are living in squalor and in need of help and assistance. No, because our connection to Allah has been lost. It's now more shifting to the divine line of shaitan, subhanAllah. So we look at that, and we look at the things that is happening around us. So if we look at all those things from where we are on a planet that is so unique, so magnificent, so beautiful, to where we feel that we are in control of this planet. We feel that we are, the whole universe is evolving and revolving around us, subhanAllah. That's where we have lost our uniqueness, and we have lost our touch with reality. And the reality that we're creating is so subservient and so, disassociated. We feel that we are all of that. SubhanAllah, Kushafat. Really, I don't know what words to mention and what words to say about how mentality has changed from what is beautiful and what is, that connectedness to Allah. We have lost that, because we are more in tune with the materialism of this world. And that's where we have been warned by our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: do not be stuck to the materialism of this world. Do not be connected too strong to the dunya, but think of the akhirah. And that we, many of us, especially when we look at Muslims, subhanAllah, we always conscientized about the akhirah. We always know that every morsel of food that we are feeding this body will be answerable to Allah. Everything that we are smelling, everything that we are seeing, we're going to be answerable to Allah. Everything that we are putting in our mouth, if it's going to be smoking, if it's going to be that is haram, and which is ugly, which is dirty, we're going to be answerable to Allah. And we must know that. We must realize that. That because we are only put on this dunya to experience and to enjoy this beauty that Allah has created. And then we must go back and go report to Allah. Oh Allah, I saw your beauty. I saw your creation. It's so beautiful, subhanAllah. Allah, you sent me on this dunya to be your viceroy, to be your khalifatullah, to be that of the intelligence to help and serve mankind by serving you. Oh Allah, I came back and this is what I have experienced. Oh Allah, this is what I've gained just by looking and being in this creative world that you have made. And then Allah will judge us on that day and say, subhanAllah, you've done a good job. And I am very happy. So go ahead and go to the Jannah. SubhanAllah. That's what we're looking forward to, subhanAllah. But we have to become disassociated to that because we connected to the, hey, that car is a smart car, man. I want to drive that one. I want to move that car. I want to see that food. I want to finish that food. I want to see all that things that is dirty and ugly. I love that, subhanAllah. What happened to us? That's the question we need to ask, Uncle Shafa.
I tell you, Yusuf, you're in a role, you're in a spiritual role. It seems like the Indian Ocean of knowledge is has manifested in you, mashallah. I really enjoyed that. But, you know, on the realism of the whole thing, you know, Shaitan had promised, I will change the nature of mankind. I will change all that in mankind. And here it is, he's whispering. And, you know, we are feeding our nafs, and that nafs is a whispering of Shaitan. We're giving it all the, you know, meretricious food, and as you said, what happens, our disposition, our spirituality is being blanked out because we're not getting that spiritual food that we need, which will, you know, put our cut above the rest. But thank Allah, Ramadan is about 80 days away. It's coming to cleanse you out and to put you back into the dry docks to give you a nice panel beating, and then it can give you that spiritual boost to go forward. But Yusuf, you make a lot of points that, you know, even they, you look at the shaitani forces, want to take away the cow, the sheep, and meat, and all these things, the different types of vegetables, and they are going into the laboratories to produce your meat and your chicken and so forth, and, you know, blaming the poor cows for gassing out the planet. I mean, they are dropping bombs and they're using nuclear bombs. They won't talk about that. The highest money maker that is, you know, destroying the planet, they pick on a poor innocent cattle or the cow. And I like the farmers in Holland. They, you know, they went all out to, you know, take on the government and the conglomerates or the one world disorder. But in the end, the government got their own way. I mean, they put the farmers out of business, and slowly but surely, I believe thousands and thousands of farms are closing up in Holland and around the world. I mean, look at what they did to India and so forth. Perhaps your comments there, Yusuf.
SubhanAllah, Uncle. Kushafat, when you look at today, we're looking at world domination. And in order to monopolize something, you must make it scarce. And you need to have a niche. So doing that, you actually control everything. First, we have to look at the past, right? Alhamdulillah, there was abundance of food. There was abundance of everything. Even look at 100 years ago, cannabis, as we call it, which is haram. A lot of people saying it's wrong. SubhanAllah, 100 years ago, it was used for everything. Literally, if you had a sore, literally, if you had a cough, if you had anything, they would use hemp, and they would use buhu in order to help and assist. And alhamdulillah, it was therapeutic and it helped. But the thing is, the pharmaceutical came along and said, but look here, I found if I use different poisons, or should I say very strong herbs, which is actually poisonous to us, we can manipulate it to let the body's immune system respond in a certain way. So they called it a controlled substance. So when they want to control our body, they use a poison in order to ensure that our immune system reacts in a certain manner. So if you control it properly, you can actually manage your immune system. So doing that, your body will respond in a certain way. That's why it's called a controlled substance. So now if you use too much of a controlled substance, they call it the overdose, and that you die because you cannot use too much of it. But now we go back 100 years ago, cannabis or hemp or buhu or hashish, all the different names it was mentioned, was used for everything. Literally, it is even used for material to make cotton. It was used for material to build homes. It was used material to build cars. So from Henry Ford, they used it to build a complete car that was indestructible. So now we go back that 100 years. Why did it change? No, they needed to make sure that we change from something that is beneficial to us and make it actually taboo and make it a hate around it, that if you use that, it is wrong. Why? Because we cannot control it and we cannot patent it. You know that word, Uncle Shafak, patent? That word where you cannot actually claim copyright and say that is mine. So that's where they became the issue. They look here, let's just ban it, and we tell everybody it's wrong. It's it's a narcotic that is bad, but it's not a narcotic. It's actually a herb. It is a very strong, beneficial herb that helps with various things, and even with cancer. So it's still regarded as wrong. But then, alhamdulillah, you have a lot of governments around the world have seen the benefits of it. So now, just looking at that aspect, not even going now into the GMO, going to everything else, subhanAllah. There's a whole history of from the GMO seeds and how GMO seeds used by Monsanto and how it's killing the planet, how they use ground up, which is a fertilizer that actually destroys the earth in order to achieve something that is artificial and something that they can control, which has already imbued with not only with antibiotics, which is too much for our body, and now the World Health Organization has claimed, no, we're having too much antibiotics because it's already found in our fertilizers. It's already used on our sprays in order to fertilize the soils, in order to prevent the insects from destroying the plants, but the insects don't want the GMO plants. They don't want to go near the GMO plants, so you don't even have to spray. Literally, the minute you plant the seed, you know it's going to grow, and it's going to last you a lifetime. Unlike organic seeds, it has a shelf life. It will last you only a certain period, so it's only a certain period is good for the body. So think of that. Where you have something that has a shelf life, so you must eat it quickly. Whereas something that doesn't have a shelf life, it's going to actually contaminate and infect the body, and the body is going to be infected for a lifetime. So therefore, we have to look at that also as well. But now we go back to the story about the cannabis, and we go back to the story about the buchu, where it became so taboo that people have said, no, you can't have that. Why? Because it's against so many norms and standards. Who made the norms and standards? It wasn't Allah. It was man. Who's the man that made it? The man that controls pharmacy, the man that controls the conglomeration, the oligarchy that we are talking about, Uncle Shafak. They've controlled it in such an aspect which they have changed people's mindset and think, oh, no, which I would say it's wrong to smoke. I don't agree ever with smoking, with any type of smoking. It's wrong. If you use something, you use something in moderation. And that's what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. If you look at back in history and how many of the Anbiya used hashish and used buhu for various things. Even Nabi Isa used it for the purpose of the holy anointment oil. You look at Sayyidina Shu'ayb used it. Various other Anbiya used it for the purpose. Now we come back to our time. Why is it wrong? No, because pharmacy said so. It's been in our books and educational books, it is wrong. And they have manipulated us in such a way that we believe, because the literature is there, the information is there. But 100 years ago, it was fine. It was used for more than 1,000 years for the purpose of healing and protecting and helping, assisting us biologically, organically. Now, we have now a controlled method, and which is called allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine is the study of poison, the study of how to manipulate the strongest of herbs, which is poisonous to us, and how to actually use it so that we can see a reaction that is beneficial and they can control it. So what they do is they would give you a medication and would see how's your body's reaction. If your body reacts good, alhamdulillah, then that would be your chronic medication. You'll be living on this for the rest of your life. If it doesn't, then they'll have to give you a generic or have to give you an alternative, because they have to give something that is less potent, less severe, less strong than the one that you are taking. And that is how we have become adapted to it. And that chronic medication is a method of controlling our immune system. And our immune system doesn't like to be controlled. Because if you're going to control the immune system, you are switching it off. That means you switch it off, you're going to switch off organs in the body, which inevitably is going to be impacted, which is your kidney, your liver, even your heart. So therefore, we have to look at, should I be on chronic medication or should I eat healthy? Now, how do you eat healthy when the system has been designed, as you mentioned, with GMOs, genetically modified organisms? Now, it makes us dependent on the chronic medication. So there we go with that cycle. Remember, Uncle Shafat, we always talk about a cycle in life. And that cycle is controlled by the evil, sinister, shaitani people, as you mentioned. The shaitani people that controls what you eat, where you go to after you have an illness, and where to you go to after that, which is to feed the ground again. So the thing is, they want to control the population, how the population grows, and the lifespan of the population. And in order to do that, you need to control the two things. The one is the food, and the other is the medication, so that they can control the lifespan of the population. That is how sinister and evil the system is. And we have fallen prey to it, and we have become used to it, because they have, as you mentioned, bought and sold all the organic farms. Is all going away. We're left now with only what they have, which we've become now dependent on what they have, and all those independents has disappeared. And alhamdulillah, I say shukr, we still have those free-range foods. We still have the free-range chicken. We have still have the free-range eggs. It's still available. Even the milk, if you read some beautiful story about the milk, how beneficial a good organic milk is to the body, how it's been used for thousands of years for the benefit for all types of ailments, subhanAllah. And that is only organic milk. I'm not talking about the pasteurized milk that has been, drawn from chemical imbued cows and beasts, subhanAllah. No, we're talking about free range, and we're talking about where, alhamdulillah, everything is organic. And then we look at the wholesomeness of that milk, subhanAllah. So if you look at all those things and think, subhanAllah, why is it changing? Now the excuse is, no, the planet is overpopulated. Overpopulation? Are you talking about the cities that are overpopulated? Why? Because you have made a system where people are attracted to the city, attracted to the materialism of the city, and leave the countryside because the beauty and everything there. No. We're not going to touch that. We attract you to us. And where we're going to make everything that is so beautiful, so wonderful, we're going to attract you to it. And then you become like all the bees attracted to this honey, and attracted to the pollen, so we can create our own honey. And that is what they call the metropolis. That's why it's called metropolis. It's something very something like propopolis, which is to do with honey, which is to do about how it's attracted to one area. So that is what's happening. So they create a system like that. And you look at everything around the world and think, wow, it looks so familiar. You look at the way things are created, the transportation, how it leads to the city. It looks like the bloodstream. Look at all the things and how it works, interact. It looks like the human being's makeup. It looks like something organically, but it's literally artificial. And that's where you look at it, artificial intelligence, is because we look at how things are created to mimic organic, and then we become used to it. Okay, this is the way it should be. So in those areas, most definitely it's overpopulated because everybody's attracted to it. But if you go to the countryside, subhanAllah, rivers and meanders and fields of openness, and how can you say that the world's overpopulated? The world's overpopulated because you want it to be, so that you can control it, and so that you can be, those bees, those people can be dependent on it. That's the idea. But Uncle Shafat, just my thoughts on it. What's yours?
I tell you, absolutely brilliant, Yusuf. I'm enjoying this conversation with you, and I hope the listeners are enjoying it too. We have about 2 minutes to go before the news, and we'll continue after that. But what I want to add on is, people, before you get it wrong, Yusuf is not selling dumb, maro, dumb, and you have your buku, you have your marujana, you have your ganja and all that. He's not telling you, hey, get goofed and say, hey, buku, buku. No such thing. But he says that same, the ganja plant or the marijuana plant, you can use it to do so many things. I mean, your buildings and your material, even your car. I believe the tires, if you make with a buku, that tire doesn't even wear out. So this is it, using it even as a medicinal for topical, maybe you got some sores and all, hey, you're using a buku. Yeah, the Buku brand by Yusuf Mali and all these things. I mean, they can be working for you. So don't get the wrong end of the stick and say, what these people are talking about. We are talking about, using it as a medicine, not to get goofed. Yusuf, quickly, your comments.
Most definitely, Uncle Shafa. As I said, I'm totally against smoking. I'm totally against the overuse of anything. You should not overuse. That's what the recommendation is from our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Moderation. Use it only when you need it for the purpose of healing. If you use it other than that, it's haram. So therefore, we get the understanding from the Quran. The Quran is our guidance. Allah teaches us and guides us and say, look here, this is right and this is wrong. If you're using it for the purpose of healing and helping and assisting when in that hour of need, it's your savior. But after that, it becomes no longer a savior. So therefore, only use it when it's necessary. But unfortunately, we have become dependent on chemicals that has become that isn't even more dangerous than the buku. And subhanAllah, I'm not even going to go into it, because if we go into that discussion, subhanAllah, it becomes more intense. But I'll leave that for another day. Uncle Shafa?
Absolutely, Yusuf. You have Allah blessed you in that you have done the research. And you can give us references, because I'm looking at a message on the screen. And it says, Brother Shafa, Yusuf Mali, and you have a powerful rapport. He talks about Nabi Isa alayhi salam using ganja and other things, and also some sahabas. Please, does he have references? These hemp and buku was used by Isa alayhi salam and perhaps these sahabas radhiyallahu anhum. And before you give us an answer on that, what caught your eyes on the news, Yusuf?
SubhanAllah, okay, quickly go to the news. The unadulterated one really caught my eye in connection with attempted poisoning. SubhanAllah, it was in his coffee. And literally, it is at the offices where he was working, even though he gave in his resignation, they want to ensure that he's no longer there. Maybe he knows too much, and that's why he needs to be taken out. And there's so many different aspects where you can look at around that issue. Something that we need to really investigate further and see why is that why is that cause of action of concern. And why? Because he, as I said, knows too much. But subhanAllah, going back to this other point where we you mentioned, or should I say I mentioned, if you go to the public archives, you will see that the holy anointment oil was made with a certain shrub that is being used, and that shrub is found throughout the world. Everywhere you'll find hemp, or should I say, buku, or marijuana, is actually a shrub that is found throughout the world. But people abuse it. People do really sinister things with it. That makes it evil. Therefore, you cannot use it the way people make it with. You have people making it with alcohol, people making it. So therefore, understanding how to get the raw essence from it, how to make it and manufacture it and use it where it becomes good for you, alhamdulillah, it's a different understanding compared to what people are using today. And looking at the same shrub, as I said, it's found throughout the world, except now for the two poles, which is the Arctic and Antarctic. You won't find any of those shrubs there, but you'll find it everywhere else. So it's literally all medicinal or healers that have been using throughout the ages would be going to that shrub first, because it has a very therapeutic effect. Because what does marijuana do? It relaxes the body. Its purpose is to give the body the opportunity to heal. Our body needs relaxation to heal. You need to sleep, and then that sleep is very important. If you don't sleep, you don't give your body time and fuck that it needs. The time and fuck your body needs to rest and repair itself. When you're sleeping, you use more energy, and that's scientifically confirmed. That you use more energy when you are sleeping. Why? Because the body is doing a maintenance. As the body's hour of maintenance is very unique, and therefore you need 8 hours of sleep. It's very unique on that. Why? Because for each and every hour, each organ needs to be detoxed, cleansed, and maintained. So when you actually limiting that sleep, that means certain organs are not getting it, and organs will fail or will have a problem. So now we go back again, as I mentioned, it's been used by so many of the Anbiya, because at the time those Anbiyas were also healers. Besides Nabi Isa, some of them showed people this can be Sayyidina Shu'ayb. When we look at the problem with leprosy and looking how people were using that in that time, it was used by so many people. So as I said, throughout the ages, it was used by various Anbiya for the purpose of healing, because that was the first shrub everyone goes to, because it's the one that relaxes you. It's better than chamomile, it's better than valerian root, which is extremely good for sleeping, which is extremely good for anxiety, depression. Now, buchul has an extra therapeutic effect. It also numbs the pain. Now, that is what is something different to what others have. So, you look at the properties that buchul offers, or should I say, now, the properties is what is beneficial. The properties of sleeping, reducing the pain, and that is what is necessary. Same with chamomile, you also get that. It's also been used throughout the ages. It's same with valerian root, but valerian is more stronger, is more dangerous compared to the others. There's no overdose using buchul. There's no overdose using chamomile, but valerian root, yes. You might be careful with valerian root. So the study of going into that is many years of understanding what is beneficial, what is not. But I will be able to supply, if a person would like to feel to contact me, the references of which Anbiya used it. Because as I said, many of them have used it for the purpose of healing, because that is the first port of call they would be using. It's one shrub that is found throughout the dunya. So various nations have used it, not only just to say it's Islamic, or it was Asiatic, or it was Chinese, or it was African. Literally, the entire planet is engulfed with it. Allah has put that one seed of goodness to help, but we have abused it. We have used it wrong. The moment we need to use it wrong, we often shaitan to be in it, and that's where all the things go wrong.
Yeah, people, you heard it from Yusuf Mali. If you want to know more about it, the references, get directly in touch with him. And inshallah, I can give you his own encyclopedia and you can read that through and get to know where it came from. And, you know, Yusuf, we got a lot of, sisters that are listening to us this morning. This is C1, Sister Rahima from Falcon Bridge in Masjid, listening to us. And she says, Brother Shafaat, and most of the sisters are saying, please ask your brother Yusuf Mali, why is it that so many women are suffering from stress? Is it the type of work that they do? And is it because they worry about the husband, the wife, the children, the in-laws and the outlaws and all these other things? What can they do? Because it's also believed from scientific research that more women die of stress and depression than any other illnesses. How true is that, Yusuf?
Well, Uncle Shafat, we look at what is stress and what is anxiety. Those are two triggers that is formulated in the tummy. So in the tummy, if your eating isn't right, if your diet isn't right, if there's no lack of exercise, there's lack of therapy. Therapy, I would say, is salah, dhikrullah. But we have enough dhikrullah, subhanallah. But then are you doing the exercise? Are you doing everything in moderation? Are you doing everything that is beneficial to the body, what the body needs? They'll say, no, but I don't do exercise. Why don't you exercise? No, I don't have time to exercise because I've got a hectic lifestyle. But exercise is vital. When you get up in the morning, stretch. Stretching is more important than the exercise because stretching actually relaxes the body. You're stretching the body to the point where it can go, which is our muscles are elastic. So you need to stretch it, and then it goes back into its position. Now it knows its limitation, and it then can get rid of the buildup of uric acid that's in the body. Then automatically the body's muscles will be able to flex the way it should. It should move the way it should. Alhamdulillah. So stretching is very important. We get up in the morning and in the evening before sleeping, do those stretches, and then your exercise is walking. Your exercise is moving around, which is your daily activity becomes an exercise. But if you haven't stretched, then it becomes a problem because now you are you're doing your daily activity on muscles that's already worn and torn. It's in pain. So you have to stretch, and then those exercises become easy because you've got rid of the buildup of acid, that uric acid that's in the muscle. So then normal activity becomes an exercise. So just do that in the morning. Then your exercise starts the minute you start working and whatever you're doing. The other part is they would say, but I'm not eating well. Why are you not eating? No, because I'm too fat or I'm obese. Subhanallah, Allah has blessed you with beauty. Everyone has uniqueness. May you be thin, may you be fat, whatever it is, you are created beautiful. We do have a problem with overeating because we eat the wrong things. Then look at the proper diet. If you have been beautifully designed to be somebody that has a full figure, alhamdulillah, Allah designed you. You didn't. I didn't. Allah designed you. And now you have to embrace it. Embrace that beauty. But if you want to, make your shape your body accordingly with beauty and something that is within the sunnah by exercising and not doing augmentation and going to a plastic surgeon and going doing all the wrong things, subhanAllah, that is wrong. But if you are going to exercise, eat right, drink a lot of water, water is very important. That's one thing a lot of people do not think of, especially in Durban, subhanAllah. Durbanites, they love the Coke. Durbanites love the carbonated drink, subhanAllah. Water, drink water in abundance. Water, 70% of your body is made out of water. So you need to replenish that water constantly. Water that has not tainted. Water that is not dirtied with any kind of carbon, any kind of gas or anything like that. It must be pure. It must be untainted water. And then the minute you replenish that water, you get rid of a lot of the sicknesses. You get rid of the high blood pressure. You get rid of your blood sugars, the blood cholesterol, because you're washing it away. But the minute you are not putting in fresh, clean water into the body, you are stuck with all that muck that's in the body. That muck becomes the problem where you are obese. Becomes a problem. We are suffering from anxiety. The problem we have, our body is now in stress because it does not have a proper mechanism of cleaning itself. So going back, very important, exercise, eating right, and drinking water. Those are the three things that we need to focus on, and that does not only apply just to women, to men as well. But that's where now becomes the issue. Now, if you just sort that out, now we look at the stresses in the life, stresses which is children, your husband, life, maybe ordinary life. That becomes the stresses that you need to worry about. But more importantly, focus on the fundamentals, which is your diet, your exercise, and drinking and breathing and doing the me time for Allah. That's sorted, alhamdulillah, everything else becomes easy. Uncle Shafa?
Yeah, beautiful indeed, Yusuf. And also, you know, looking at this question here, says, Brother Yusuf Mahdi, a lot of people are taking sedatives to sleep, and I know that this can destroy your organs and so forth. Please warn them not to take all these things because they must relax and make ibadat and learn to smile and give sadaqah and do all those right things. And they won't need sedatives if they read Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar. How do you respond to that, Yusuf?
Yes, Uncle Shafa, many of the sedatives or sleeping tablets and various tablets that we've been used in order to sleep or relax us are meant for specific conditions. May it be for schizophrenia, may it be for bipolar, It's meant for people with this type of disorders. So now that disorder can become our crux if we are using our sleeping tablets and sedatives willy-nilly, because we feel that we need to sleep. So I'll take one isn't working, so I'll take three. Three isn't working, let's take five. So the more we take, the better we sleep. No, we're actually creating more dysfunctions and creating deficiencies in our body that will actually become the problem, which is that disorder. And that taking more than one becomes more stronger effect on our system and our brain. Our brain's network is so unique and so magnificent. It can be influenced with dirty habits. Therefore, it's been said, moderation. So looking at sedatives, as I said, many of them are very, very dangerous to the body. Looking at one in particular, amitriptyline. Amitriptyline is meant for bipolar and schizophrenic patients. It's not meant for ordinary human beings like me and you, unless we have a mental disorder. Then it helps to calm you down. So it's meant as a calmer. It's, as I said, very dangerous. So try and look for the organic, which is chamomile, valerian root. Those are very good to help soothe the brain, the tummy. Chamomile has a very therapeutic effect on the tummy. It helps soothe the tummy so you can sleep better. Try and also rub the body out with aromatherapy oils and drop some aromatherapy oils in the belly button as well. You will see you will sleep much more better. It helps with stress. It helps with the daily grind just by putting some in the belly button. The belly button has a uniqueness about it. SubhanAllah. It's our connection to our mom. So alhamdulillah, that with umbilical cord was our lifeline. So if we feed that with organic oils, just by even putting your normal ginger and garlic oils in that, subhanAllah, you improve the blood system. You also improve the way the body's active, the way the body moves. SubhanAllah, it helps with the inflammation. It helps with not only with blood thinning, but it has so much therapy just by dropping a few drops in the belly button. But if your condition is more intense, then you need my treatment, which is called natural blood cleanser. It's a method to clean the blood in you. I recommend to all my clients, you need to put a drop or two in the belly button besides consuming it, because what it does, it cleans the blood. It makes sure that the blood is more cleaner and healthier. So it removes all the toxicity in the body. And the toxicity is the one that actually kills us. That's why we're worried about cancer. We worry about all the various disorders and diseases because our blood is dirty. We go for hijama, we go for cupping, and we do bloodletting. We see the specialist tell us, brother, your blood is dirty. You need to detox. You need to clean your blood. SubhanAllah. Then people come approach me and tell me, Yusuf, advice. And alhamdulillah, within a matter of 1 month using my treatment, I am having dialysis patients seeing wonderful results, and cancer patients as well. So therefore, I know, and I'm talking about an experience, that people have generally a toxic blood because their diet is wrong. They're not lack of exercise, lack of water. These are the fundamental points which create a toxic environment. And the toxic environment where cancer spreads, and cancer loves toxicity. So don't create an environment for cancer. Clean your system, clean your body. When you do that, you will prevent cancer, because everyone has carcinogens in their body. You just need a toxic environment. You create the environment for cancer. Don't do that. Uncle Shafar?
Well, Yusuf, you know, you talk with a lot of confidence about, you know, how you detox and so forth. And, you know, in your case, you're a public figure. I mean, you're a radio presenter. You come on air and all that. So you can't go under the radar if your things don't work, because you're there in the public face. And, you know, alhamdulillah, you talk about it in confidence. Your success rate, you know, your people that come to you, talk to us about that. Is it 90%? Is it 70%? Or is it 95% or 99%, Yusuf?
Well, alhamdulillah, uncle, it's 99.9% when you talk about cleaning the blood. You see, my treatment, I'm not the telling people, professing, I'm going to fight cancer. I can say, subhanAllah, by cleaning the blood, now the body can fight cancer. You see, cancer is as it spreads in a toxic environment. It grows in that environment. But when your blood is clean, it can't grow. you have to shrink cancer. You limit the spread of the cancer. And alhamdulillah, there is various other treatments that I do make, which is to fight the cancer. And that's why I'm busy with stage 4 cancer patients, and success rate has been over 90%, alhamdulillah. Yeah, but people come to over stage 4, you're looking at the end, where everybody switches over. Literally, the machines often say, go home, there's nothing more we can do. They just give you painkillers and just give you, and that is it, and put you on a drug. And those are the clients and patients I've seen. And subhanAllah, seen the remarkable results. And therefore, with confidence, I can say, those are people that needs my help. And alhamdulillah, those are the ones that I've seen and I've assisted. You have a greater understanding. You see, the part when I mentioned the buchu, a lot of people are thinking, you just take the buchu and that is it, and that will save you from cancer. No, subhanAllah, it is but only one small morsel of what is necessary. If you look at my cancer fighter, there's over 99 ingredients, 99 ingredients. One of them is the cannabis. You have, for example, Ganoderma. Ganoderma is a mushroom which comes from China. It is regarded as the queen of all mushrooms, which is in my treatment. Turmeric is the queen and the mother of all spices. That's in my treatment. You have, so my treatment is made out of royalty. Royalty, which is regarded as superfoods, foods that is important for the body. And you look at the thing that is in there, which is from the calendric, from your pomegranate, to your achua, to your goji berry, your cranberry, your pumpkin seeds. These are all beneficial ingredients, but because we do not know how to use it and how to use it correctly, that's why we cannot solve our issues. Now, alhamdulillah, with confidence, I have helped so many people, the Alice's patients, where they came to me with 5%, 7%, 10% kidney function. And they say, Yusuf, everybody gave up. Need their help. I said, subhanAllah, just remember, there is always hope. The minute, as long as you're breathing, there is hope. So don't give up, because we are there to fight. We are not there to give up. The minute you give up, subhanAllah, Allah will judge us on that. Because we are not there to say, I can't anymore. We say, no, I must. And alhamdulillah, Allah loves those who are fighters. Allah loves those who are warriors. So be a warrior. Fight. Because when you fight, you create hope for others. Because others will see you and say, but I'm hopeless because my uncle, my auntie, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother was hopeless. No. You don't fight on hopelessness. You fight on strength. And the strength is where you say, I can. And I will. And alhamdulillah, doing that, you create that, you become that beacon, that warrior that other people are looking for, subhanAllah. So if I go back to my own case, Uncle Shafa, that's another series that we can talk about with over 45 accidents and literally tragedies and hopelessness, which should have been me. Alhamdulillah, Allah grant me that ability to dust off and stand up and let's go on again. And alhamdulillah, learning from each and every incident up to cancer, how to fight it, how to heal myself, and helping others doing it the same way and telling this is the method I have tried and tested with myself. It worked for me. Let it work for you. And how can it work for you? Alhamdulillah, I can guide. I can offer that assistance. Therefore, that's what I do. I become a mentor for others so that they can see a betterment in their condition. So even if it's with pain, if it's with, alhamdulillah, from eczema to psoriasis to cases of bed sores, severe bed sores, I haven't yet had leprosy. But subhanAllah, may Allah grant me the opportunity to meet those people and assist those people. Because the treatment that I've made can be used externally, internally. It can be used to wash the body with. It can be used to clean and clean the system. And you can literally see it over a short period of time, over a month. You can see beautiful results. And why? Because you're busy cleaning the body with everything that is good, wholesome, and unique. If the research is for many years. It's not to say that I just decided today to throw everything in a pot and, okay, let's see what will happen. No. Subhanallah, over 30 years of experience, understanding various work from Ahli Sunni work to Rukia, to the point where I am today, where I can have a greater understanding of all the medicinal sciences, which is your African, your Indian, your Chinese, and your Islamic medicine, focusing on Islamic medicine as the basis of all treatments. And that is where you ask Allah for assistance. And when you do that, automatically the treatment works, because you ask Allah. You didn't tell Yusuf to help you. No, you asked Allah to help you. So that makes a big difference, because when you're busy with allopathy, you're asking the doctor to help you. You're not asking Allah, because you're telling the doctor, poison me so that I can get better. When you ask, when you're eating healthy foods, you're asking Allah, feed me. So when you do that, always do the basmallah. Also, always do your durood and the necessary calls and the yaseen and the muq, so that you can try and give your body the oxygenation it needs, the spiritual oxygenation. And automatically you actually activate all treatments. The science have only discovered recently how everything is activated just by the mentioning of the name of Allah. And the adhan, the karma, everything, how the dunya gets activated when those sounds are mentioned. So subhanAllah, when you do that on your own, and you do that dhikrullah while you are doing treatment, subhanAllah, you're activating, you're asking Allah, help this. So it's mind over matter, but it's more Allah over anything that matters. Uncle Shafat.
I tell you, I got a lot of queries coming from around the world, and Harun from London wants to know if you have a website where you can check your products out and so forth, and that are you. So before you leave out, your website, do you have a website?
No, unfortunately, not there yet, uncle. Everything takes time, subhanAllah. I had a website once upon a time, but it was there was no traffic, so I closed it down. That was many years ago. So only a Facebook page. People can go to this KUISIESK, it's my testimonials of my stage 4 cancer patients and my various different clients and believers. They can visit it. It's KUISIESK. Or they can just WhatsApp me on 081-515-6694. I repeat that, 081-515-6694. That's my contact details. There's also email, but okay, leave that for a later day. But those are the contacts that you can get hold of me again. I'm not on Instagram. I'm only on Facebook. So you'll find my Sunnah Archery. You'll find my Kafis Corner. Various different Facebook pages which I manage, besides managing various health organic WhatsApp groups in Durban and in throughout South Africa. Alhamdulillah, busy. That's keeping me busy, alhamdulillah. Because you're fine.
Alhamdulillah, keeping you busy, keeping you cleansed, keeping the ummah cured and organic. And alhamdulillah, really great chat with you this morning, Yusuf. Allah bless you for that. And you know, alhamdulillah, you really have given a lot of hope to a lot of people. Your parting words before I let you go.
SubhanAllah, may Allah make it easy for each and every one. It's a difficult time that we're in. As we spoke about the program, GMOs, all the different faulty things that around us that is creating a faulty environment for diseases and various different things to fester and become prominent. It's for us to become the guiding light. It's for us to become the ambassadors of Islam. Where Allah says, go green. Allah says, look after the planet. Allah says, look after what I have given you. So may Allah guide us and give us that understanding and tawfiq, what we need to do to become better and be better, inshallah. And we make that dua for each and every one. May Allah grant each and every one shifa and kamila. And the most important thing, afia. May Allah grant each and every one a beautiful, awesome day and an awesome program. Further on, push up. Until we chat soon, from Yusuf Mani from Cape Town, but in Durban. Until we chat again soon. Ma'as salama. Ilan iqa.